Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 18, verses 5 through 9. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we recognize that we are sinners. Lord, we recognize that it is very difficult for us to understand. Lord, we need your help. We need you to teach us this morning. Lord, we just thank you for the work that you're doing. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that you've shown us. Lord, we ask now that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that recognizing, Lord, that all of these people have come to hear from you, not me. Lord, I pray that you would protect them from my error, that I would not get in the way, but that you would speak to us now. We thank you for your word and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is Self-Destruction. You see, sinful man is on a course in life of bringing destruction. Destruction on those around us, destruction upon ourselves. And so in these verses in Proverbs this morning, we will see much destruction. We will see just a few of some of the many ways that we bring destruction upon ourselves and others. And this is one of the themes of Scripture, is that if left to himself, sinful man will bring destruction all around him, and will bring destruction down upon his own head. So the outline is self-destruction. Number one, perverting justice brings destruction. Number two, a fool destroys himself with his mouth. And then number three, laziness brings destruction. Now, as we go through these verses, understand I am not a motivational speaker. A motivational speaker would go through this and would look at the Proverbs and say, okay, we see the consequences. We see the instructions of what we need to do. Now pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, you can do it. You can do it. Just try harder. Press on. Keep trying. You can do it. But that's not why I'm here. And I don't think that's why you're here. You see, we look to Christ because Christ has done it. And because apart from him, there is no way we can do any of this. And so, Christ is our only hope. Christ came that we might have life, and that we might have it abundantly. So let's begin with number one, verse 5. Perverting justice brings destruction. Verse 5, to show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. So here we're warned once again of perverting justice. This is no new instruction for us. We saw this in verse 26, 23, and 15 of the previous chapter. So we can see that this is extremely important to God. This is an abomination to the Lord when men pervert justice. It says, to show partiality to the wicked is not good. Partiality is to show favor, which stems from an undue bias. Okay, this does not spring from a love of the truth, this favor, but this is from man's will and affections. In other words, this is showing favor to someone who is guilty, possibly because they're wealthy, possibly because they're beautiful, or maybe they're a relative. But whatever the reason, either way, it is perverting justice. It is not ruling righteously. It's blessing the wicked and cursing the righteous. And this is not good. Now you may picture a wicked judge doing this, showing favor to the guilty man, not giving him the punishment he deserves, while at the same time punishing and condemning the righteous man, who he knows is innocent of the crime. And that is what this verse is speaking of. But it goes far beyond that. This verse is for all of us, especially those in authority. This is not just speaking to judges ruling over cases of the people, but this is speaking to every branch of government that is making laws and setting up programs. You see, the problem here does not just occur when we have good laws and then we just have a few corrupt judges who are perverting justice. The problem is far more widespread than that. This verse speaks of lawmakers, program coordinators. Listen, it will be self-destructive when we show favor to the wicked and we punish the righteous. And when we set up laws and rules and programs that do this. Now let's apply this destructive formula to the family. I think it'll help us. It'll be very easy for us to see how destructive this is. And so, consider the family here. Many of you homeschool. Okay, so let's just say that you give all your children their assignments, okay, and you give them a deadline. And just to be clear, this is all very reasonable, okay? They should be able to get this done, okay? This is not an unreasonable request. And so you give them their assignments, and here's the deadline. Okay, well here, when a child finishes early, if you give them more work to do, or maybe just give them some of their brother's work to do, and then send them to bed without supper. Okay, that's what you get if you get your work done early, okay? Good job. But if you don't get your assignment done on time, maybe you don't get it done at all. Well, a pat on the back, I mean, good job for trying, and have an ice cream cone. You don't need to finish it anyway. You tried, you really tried hard enough. I mean, good effort. Way to go. Now, it's obvious to see this is terribly wrong, right? And very destructive to your family. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Next time, is everybody going to have their assignment done on time? Or is no one ever going to turn their assignment in on time again? So you see the destruction that comes in perverting justice, in rewarding and showing and favoring the wicked. So we don't want to punish our children for doing what is right, nor do we want to reward their bad behavior and their laziness. And certainly this seems like an extremely, you know, this is a ridiculous example. And yet, this is really nothing compared to some of our government programs. You see, the government is unfortunately very bad about doing this. Now, don't get me wrong, the government does not do everything wrong. But this is one area that we have brought destruction upon ourselves. Now, just to be clear, man is sinful, and good laws and programs are not going to change man's wicked heart. Only God changes man's heart. But what the laws should do is restrain man's evil. You see, men will still sin, but under good government, men will sin less. So just a few ways that the government shows favoritism to the wicked and punishes the righteous. When people live an immoral lifestyle of fornication, and there are children being born out of wedlock, the government gives money. They reward this sinful behavior. You know, when I was in high school, I was part of a class that built a daycare on the school grounds. Now, you might think, oh, yeah, good for the teachers, you know, so they can, the staff, so they can drop their kids off. No. The primary purpose of that building was so that all of the immoral students, unmarried, having children, can bring their children and drop them off at the daycare and still finish their high school education. You see, these government subsidies don't encourage moral living. They facilitate it. They reward the immoral person instead. And the outcome isn't good. This always results in a growth, not a decline, of immorality. Also, one more example is that God has said, if a man will not work, neither let him eat. But our government has set up systems of unemployment benefits which do not encourage hard work, but rather laziness. You see, if I was out of work and I wasn't receiving these unemployment checks, I would be much more motivated to go find a job and get work. But instead, laziness is encouraged. You will be rewarded for not working. And if you do work hard and make lots of money, then you're going to be punished. You're going to be taxed incredibly. Now, I admit that some of these programs mean well. And I don't mean to paint this black and white picture of all of them. Okay, they're not all bad. But even with the best of motives, we have got to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Are we encouraging and rewarding what is right? Or are we encouraging and rewarding what is evil? We must not pervert justice. So we can see clearly from this verse how showing favoritism to the wicked and punishing the righteous is self-destructive. Self-destructive for the family, self-destructive for the society. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. Number two, a fool destroys himself with his mouth. 6, 7, and 8. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Here we see the fool misusing the good gift of speech. We see both the trouble that it causes others and the trouble that it brings upon himself. A fool's lips bring strife. We see that a fool uses his words to create conflict. He's stirring up people. He's provoking them to argue and dispute with him. Oftentimes, a fool speaks rashly and wickedly. You see, where the wise man seeks to avoid and resolve conflicts, the fool is the opposite. He's creating them. He's causing strife. He's stirring everyone up. Now, the fool oftentimes does this deliberately. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it to accomplish his wicked plan, to create strife, to cause problems. But there are also times when the fool comes by it naturally. Times when he wasn't really trying to cause problems, but he opened his mouth without thinking, and careless words poured out. You see, it's common for a fool to turn a friendly conversation into a fight, all with just words. And we see here where these words lead. His mouth calls for blows. You see, his words do not calm and comfort those around him. He is not bringing peace, but his words provoke anger, and the arguments escalate. What began with verbal words quickly progresses to physical blows. It's easy to see the self-destruction here. The fool says things he shouldn't. He provokes people to physically beating him up. Certainly there are other people involved here, but the whole point of this verse is that he is causing this. He is bringing it down upon his own head. It's his own fault. The fool is his own worst enemy. He has no one to blame but himself. With the opening of his mouth, he destroys himself. He opens his mouth. He desires to harm others, but it boomerangs right back at him and destroys himself. So the fool destroys himself with his mouth. But we have not been called to speak carelessly and foolishly. We should speak carefully. We should speak wisely, using our words to comfort and calm others. We should be peacemakers. We should not be opening our mouth and starting fights, but we should be bringing peace and life, wonderful words of life. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin. His lips are the snare of his soul. Verse 8, continuing with the fool's mouth bringing destruction. Verse 8 says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. the destruction that the tongue brings is a great destruction. Here in this verse, we observe two things about gossip. First is that gossip is appealing. Gossip is appealing. And then we see, second, that gossip is destructive. Now, before we look at those two points, let's first consider briefly what gossip is. This verse speaks of a whisperer. Other versions say talebearer. But this is someone who is spreading rumors and gossip. Someone who likes to talk about other people. And so as they go here and there, and they hear things, and they talk to people, they're spreading these rumors. They're reporting about other people. They're spreading news of others, and oftentimes it's negative. It's negative news. It's a bad report. But they give these reports of others when they don't know all the facts. They don't know the whole story. They don't know the real truth. Their whole story is based on uncertain evidence, assumptions, and speculations. Gossiping is taking pleasure in revealing the secrets of others, whether they are true or not. So, point number one, gossip is appealing. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. Okay, we're given a food picture here to show us what gossip is like. It is like dainty morsels. It is like delicious food. You see, we have taste buds, and we have hunger and cravings, and we enjoy delicious food. And so you see here that part of our sin nature is that we have an appetite for gossip. We want to hear secrets. Have you ever asked anyone, "Do you want to hear a secret?" And they say no. Probably not. Everyone wants to hear a secret. We need to be careful. Gossip is like delicious food. It's hard to turn down when it's offered to you. So point one is that gossip is appealing. So be on guard. Gossip is appealing. Point two, gossip is destructive. Second half of the verse, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body, like junk food that tastes good, but then it sits in your stomach and does its destructive work. So gossip is appealing, yet once you partake of it, it sinks down and does its destructive work. Wounds deep in the heart. Deep and destructive. Gossip is so destructive. Gossip destroys relationships. It harms the reputation of the one who is being slandered. It causes people to think ill of him for reasons that don't even exist. It is so destructive. It also harms the one who is listening to gossip, causing him to think ill of his friend unnecessarily, causing him to doubt and lose affection for the one he ought to love. So gossip causes doubt and distrust among friends. It damages relationships. It also harms the credibility of the one who is spreading the gossip. Because later on, when the truth is revealed, it will be shown that they are untrustworthy, that they are a source of inaccurate information. But unfortunately, most of the time, it's too late. The damage is already done. So although gossip is appealing, restrain yourself. For gossip is terribly, terribly destructive. You see, gossip is one of those temptations that we need to be on guard against all of the time. All of the time. You see, trying not to be involved in gossip is a real challenge. It demands much discernment because people share things with us. And we talk to other people. And some things were meant for my ears only. But other things were meant to be shared, were meant to be passed on. And so we have to use discernment. We need to be careful not to be a part of gossip. We need to be careful what we say. And don't believe everything you hear. Gossip will destroy your relationships. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Number three, laziness brings destruction. Verse 9, he also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. Here we're taught not to be lazy, and we're shown how destructive laziness is. Laziness is sin. And it is a sin that we tend to think has very small consequences. You see, we oftentimes do not realize how destructive laziness is. And yet, that is exactly the point of this verse. Laziness is destruction. Laziness brings self-destruction. In this verse, we see the lazy man likened to the destroyer. This relationship or this connection that is made here between the lazy man and the one who destroys is really showing us that these two are closely related. You see, each may take a different path, but they both come to the same result, destruction. This verse shows the wastefulness of the lazy man. You see, the lazy man has been given gifts. It isn't that the lazy man doesn't have any talent, doesn't have any strength. He does. And he should be employing those talents in productive endeavors. But instead, he chooses to waste his resources. You see, it isn't that the lazy man is unable to work. It's that he's unwilling to work. He does not even try. He could work, but he remains idle. He's negligent and careless. He procrastinates. He says, why do today when I could put it off till tomorrow? And so the outcome is not good. You see, it's as if he is plundering himself. He's stealing and destroying from himself. And he'll never know the extent of destruction that he's bringing upon himself, because he's robbing himself before he even had it. So we can see how self-destructive laziness is. His wastefulness, his squandering of resources, his poor work ethic, all bring destruction upon himself. The lazy man is detrimental to himself, his family, and society. He should have worked hard. He should have provided well. He should have been able to help others in need. But instead, everyone suffers because he neglected his duties. He remained idle when he should have been working. May we be faithful stewards of God, working hard, providing for others, and honoring our Lord. He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys. So in conclusion, John 10:10 that I began with this morning, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Dear friends, Christ came that we might have life. Not at some distant time in the future in heaven with Him, but today, right now, that we might have life. You see, Christ came that we might not pervert justice, that we might not use our mouth to destroy, causing strife, spreading gossip. Christ came that we might not be negligent in our work. You see, Christ came so that we might not live a life of destruction and death, but that we would live a life of hope and encouragement and love and peace. Christ came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Dear friends, is Christ working in your heart this morning? Is He convicting you of sin in your life? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Repent of your sins. Trust in Christ. He is our only hope. Let's pray. O Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we read of Your truth. Lord, we read that our sin is so destructive. Lord, we see that apart from You, we are on a terrible, terrible path. Destroying those around us, destroying ourselves. Lord, we need You. We need You. We pray, Lord, that You would work in us what is pleasing in Your sight. Lord, that You would use our mouth to speak what is a blessing and not a curse. Lord, that You would help us to judge righteously, that we would not be rewarding the wicked or condemning the righteous. Lord, please give us discernment in all of these things. Lord, please help us not to be lazy. Lord, in all of these things, we recognize our sinful tendencies. Lord, we see our hopelessness apart from Christ. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for not leaving us on this path of destruction. We thank You for bringing life and giving it to us abundantly. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.